This is Father's Day, and I hope you all have some nice plans today. My kids asked me, Dad, do you want to come over our house for dinner? Do you want to come over our house for lunch? Do you want to do this? I said, I'm going to do what I do every Father's Day. I'm going to park myself in a chair on the deck as long as it's not raining. And then when it starts raining, I'm going to go in and watch golf. And this is great because it's on the West Coast. I'm going to watch golf until 10:30 tonight. And boy, I'm blessed. How many other people watch golf? I watch football and I watch golf. Okay, so those two together, if you put those two sports together, can you imagine getting ready to tee off, but the defense comes and tackles you? So, I always like Robin Williams' comedy skit on the creation of golf. I've seen that, it's hilarious. So, today we're going to talk about being connected. We're in the series Cornerstone Plus, and the plus actually is we started with the verse out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, I believe it is, where it says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone in which everything else is built upon that foundation. And what we have done, we have taken this list of words, begin with C, and thank you so much for Lisa for putting this up there, keeping it in front of us. We talked about being a cultivator, and today we're going to talk about connection, which is kind of related to that. We'll get that in a second. We've talked about being a contributor. We talked about being connected today. And we're going to talk about next week, we're going to talk about the, already talked about catalyst. And next week, we're going to talk about craving. And then the last week, complacence. Now, I want you to hear the last week because somebody said to me, everything seems to be positive to the last one. Is that where you're going to dump on us? And the answer is yes. Let me kind of connect you here in the whole thing, because this all works together. If we're going to grow in the Lord, we have to be a catalyst for change. We have to cultivate relationships. We have to be connected and remain in relationship, and that's kind of what this is about today. And we have to have a craving for a fresh new start with Christ and God every day, but also complacent, because what happens many times when somebody first finds their faith, somebody first connects to church, accepts Christ, gets involved in Christianity, there's that overwhelming excitement. You want to learn so much. You want to get into the Bible. You want to ask questions. You know, it's all fresh, new, and exciting. You get involved in ministry, and you think, when I get involved in ministry, I'm going to be working side by side with some most spiritual, holy people. And then you realize they are just like you, that they are sometimes aggravated, they are sometimes tense, they are sometimes offensive. And all of a sudden, after a certain amount of time, you find yourself becoming somewhat complacent because the new has worn off, and now you're not sure what to do. And I'm going to give you in the last week some ideas of how to get out of complacency in your Christian walk and make it fresh and new each and every day. And the reason why I think I know a lot about this, you know, when you've been in the ministry for a number of years, the average pastor pastors a church, the average in America, is 3.5 years. I've pastored here now for 18 years. The previous church, I pastored for 7. The previous church to that, I pastored for about 11. And so when you think about all that and stuff, how do you as a pastor recreate and keep it fresh? I mean, you're talking to the same people for the most part each week. You've covered every major subject. You've taught through the Bible. You've told all your jokes. And now that your kids are grown, you really don't have any more to build on. I mean, that's the good thing about the kids being younger. So now you make fun of your parents, and I'll tell you a lot about Dad when he gets here. But the thing is that I've had to recreate. I've had to make it fresh. And sometimes I've had to get away from everything to clear my mind so I can do that. The worst thing you can do is not take some breathing time, a vacation, get away from things. We're going to be gone. I'm going to miss 2 Sundays for the first time in years in July. And it probably will be good for me. And my wife says, so are we going to go visit churches on our vacation? I said, well, you're in the aerospace industry. Are we going to stop by some aerospace companies too? I said, I'm going to rely. I'll watch a podcast, but I'm going to lay around and do nothing. But anyways, is that you have to recreate yourself. And so we're going to talk about that as we get to that complacency. But today we're going to talk about being connected. And this is kind of related to being cultivating, but we're cultivating is intentionally doing things that will create relationship. This basically talks about being connected and staying connected. And the hardest part of connection isn't when you're first connected with somebody, it's when the bond was broke, Something happened to divide yourself. Something happened to get in the way. Something divided you in the relationship and how to get back to that. And that's kind of where I'm going today. Because if we're going to grow in the Lord, a lot of times what we have to realize, it's easy to get connected to God. It's easy to get connected to people. It's difficult at times to get reconnected after the bond's been broken. And that's where connection really, really gets tough. And that's where maturity in the Lord needs to be there. I've seen people change churches because they took offense by something. I've seen people leave the faith and get away from God because somebody at church or something had happened or God didn't do something for them. They prayed about something, God didn't come through, and all of a sudden they distanced that relationship. And the hardest part is coming back. And I'm going to give you some ideas this morning about that. Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, he had his followers. He had his groupies, the disciples. He had those that were skeptic. And then he had those who really, really looked at him as an enemy. The religious system that day looked at Jesus because he was this new guy on the scene. He was claiming to be God's son. He had all these things. He was doing miracles. Every time they tried to criticize him to people that were blind, he'd make them not blind anymore. So they had a hard time with this guy. And so they followed him around, and Jesus used to do these Q&As quite often. You read the gospel, he does a number of Q&As. And he's doing this Q&A, and he's talking to people, and people are asking him this question. Disciples are asking his questions, you know, when is your kingdom coming, you know, and like last week, can I sit on the right hand and left hand of you, and all these questions. But these group of religious leaders who looked at him as a threat, when he opened up for Q&A, they would ask him questions. But the reason why they would ask him questions is because they're trying to trick him. See, if they could get Jesus to say something that was contrary to the Old Testament, if they could get Jesus to say something that was contrary or offensive to the Old Testament, the scriptures that were on the scene at that time, you know, the Pentateuch, the Genesis, Deuteronomy, if they could get him to say something that would be against that, they would say to the crowd, see, he can't be of God because now he is actually offending God because here's what God said in his commandments. And so they came up to him, and they probably put a lot of thought to this. They probably got together and had a little powwow. How can we trip him up? And they came to him, and they asked him, which is the greatest of all commandments? Now, we know there's 10 commandments. You know, thou shalt love the Lord God with all your heart. Thou shalt love your mother and father. Thou shalt not kill. And all those things there. But after the Ten Commandments were given to Moses on that Mount Sinai, there are about 635 other laws and requirements and rules that were added to that. So these folks, the religious leaders of that day, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they posed this question to him. They said, what is the greatest commandment? Now he's got like 645 to pick out of. And they figure whatever he picks out that, if he says, well, the most important commandment is to thou shalt not kill, that would probably be a good one. But if he didn't say that one, they would turn to people and say, listen, don't you think that killing's wrong? And they would try to build that division block with him and create division with the people that are following him. And that's where we get into the scriptures here. We're going to read out of Matthew chapter number 22, verse 36 to 40. Out of the Amplified Bible, there's a phrase in there I want you to really get. And so here's what he says in verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, that is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. The whole law and the writings of the prophets depend on these two commandments. So his answer kind of befuddled them because they were waiting for some kind of way to trip him up. And as he's speaking this, he's thinking about the audience around him, and he says, the greatest commandment is simple. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Now, nobody could debate with that. He says, that's the first commandment. That's where it all started. That's the first one Moses got. And so they really could not go against that. Because you got to think, the first thing that God wrote down probably is the most important. And then he says, and the second is like it. And what he meant by that, he says, the second is equal to it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And basically, these two commandments take in every precept that follows after that. And they really could not defend. They really could not attack him. They really could not do anything to disrupt that teaching. And what he was really saying, the whole thing of Christianity, and just narrow it down here, the whole thing about what we're about, you know, a lot of churches have rules and regulations. People ask me all the time, so what's your church position on this, this, and this? And I always tell folks, we don't have church positions on a lot of ideas. We don't have church positions on political ideas. We don't have church positions on a lot of social things out there. We don't go around. I may have my convictions and my opinion, and I'll share them with you, but I don't speak for my convictions and stuff and my preferences and stuff for everybody in the congregation, nor should you speak for me. We're all growing. We're all on a journey. But if I were to ask, then what bonds your church? What brings you together? What is the one thing that is the catalyst for uniting you as a church? If you all don't have to think in life, you know, if you all don't use the same translation of the Bible, if you all don't like the same songs, if you all don't like to agree on all the different teachings or whatever, where God left things up for us to decide, we don't make them rules and regulations. So what bonds you together? And I said, it's simple. Our church comes together by the connection. By our connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that connection, our connection one to another, based upon the one thing he told what was requirement. When he said there to for our relationship with God, he didn't say, make sure that you walk in line with God, make sure you follow all the rules with God, make sure that you dot the I's and cross the T's. He didn't say that. He didn't say for relationship with other people, make sure that you sit down and write all the things that you agree upon. And once you do that, you can find out who you're bonded with and who you really don't want to hang with. Because if you can't see eye to eye on these 10 or 15 or 20 or 600 things, you might as well not even try to attempt to have a relationship. You might as well not be connected. He didn't say any of this. He said simply this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. The prerequisite for connection isn't everything we see eye to eye and every perfect thing we do, and our relationship with God is not based upon every law we keep. It's based upon love. It's based upon love. And love is the thing that bonds us to God and connects us, and love is the thing that connects us to one another. And the reason why this is important is this: because the scriptures teach us, and I'm not going to read them this morning, that love, and he even says in the scriptures, love covers a multitude of sins. Love is that one thing that takes relationship and connections, and even when they're broken, brings them back. Love is that one thing that when you're raised in a family, you have kids, and you tell them, and they know you've been disappointed, you say, yes, I'm disappointed, but do you still love me? You cannot lose my love. That is a staple item. Connection happens with us and God and with each other, not based upon all the different things that we see eye to eye or don't see eye to eye or our personality clashes. It's because we love each other and we love God. And love overlooks some things. Love tolerates some things. Love is that one thing that draws us together. And when Jesus was asked the question, what is the most important rule of law? He says, love your Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else falls in place with this. Now, relationship was created by God in perfection. And to me, it's a great story about love in relationship. And this is a great example for how we are to love one another. Sometimes we get to our wits' ends, and that person's, you know, done something to me, you know, that person's offended me or sinned against me. And the Bible says that we need to forgive 70 times 7, which means unlimited times. But the greatest example of love that we can learn from, because if we want to know how to, you know, we want to know how God connected us, we can learn from that to how to be connected to each other. There's some great examples. And one of the examples starts at the very beginning of mankind in history. It starts out in the story of the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden is that God had created a man, Adam. And when he created this man, Adam, he gave him all this pleasurable things in life. He basically, it was a sinless paradise. And he is in a situation where God says, name the animals, do all these things. But at one time, that God loved Adam so much, he realized that Adam had an emptiness in him. And so God said, and in fact, he says in the scriptures, and I read it a few weeks ago, and he says this, is that in Genesis 2:18, he says, the Lord said to God, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, suitable, designed for him. And so he did that. And so God saw that he was connected to Adam, but Adam needed another connection. Now, I want you to follow this. We need to be connected with God, but God understands that we need human connection. We need fellowship. We need people that God sends our way to be a blessing. And so God put Adam to sleep, and God took a rib bone out of his side, and he used that rib, the scripture teaches, and whether you believe this literally or metaphorically, I believe it's literal, that he created Eve. Now, these two individuals were in the garden, and they're fellowshipping. They had no consciousness of sin. They had no consciousness of evil. They walked around naked because they had no body shame. That wasn't even their consciousness. They couldn't even conceive anything being wrong with what they were doing. And now God now had this connection between Adam, and God had a connection between Eve. And what brought joy to God's eyes is Adam and Eve had a connection to each other because God designed them to be suitable for one another. See, God's in the connection. God says it's not good for any of us to be alone. And so God connected us with him and with others. And God said, listen, our relationship is not built upon the fact that you're robots. I'm going to give you some direction here. You can do whatever you want. You can eat of any fruit in the garden. You can walk anywhere. You can drink of any water. But there's this one tree that he says, this is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is a tree that I say you cannot touch, because once you touch this, you're going to die. He gave him that warning. And we all know the story about the serpent coming to Eve and then Eve coming to the man, and they took this. But this is when the relationship broke. Look what it says here. This is when the relationship broke. And what's vital to understand this is that what happens after this is awesome. He says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. It won't be on the screen. I added these after I gave them the PowerPoint. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me," oh, we always blame somebody, "she gave it to me, some of the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." And so all of a sudden, this connection to God was broken. But what's worse, and not to say worse, but what's also in that is the connection between the two individuals was now broken. Little lesson there. When your relationship with God is right, your relationship with each other will be right. But now you have this beautiful picture of God wanted connection. God created man so he could have connection and fellowship. And then God created woman for man so that man could have that human connection one with another. But when they both, and no one's to blame, they both decided to do what they did, that broke that connection, that divided their union with God in a sense. But what happens? As soon as God questions them, instead of Adam saying, "We two are sticking together, our connection is tighter than our connection," he says, "The woman you gave me, she's the one that gave it to me, and now their relationship's all messed up." But here's the thing. God loved connection so much, he made a way to get reconnected. Here's the story. I won't share a script, I'll share a story. So God says to them, "You've done wrong." And God, they were covering themselves with the plant life, and God actually covered them with animal skin. And in the garden, there were two trees. There was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they took the fruit of. But there was another tree in the garden that basically was a tree that locked in whatever state you were in. And God said, I love you so much. I'm so fearful that you're going to walk over from this tree now that you know you're sinful people. And if you eat of this other tree, it's going to seal your doom. So he kicked them out of the garden, put angels from the garden to keep them from out of there. The reason they got kicked out wasn't because he was trying to take paradise away. He was concerned that they would take a bite of the other tree's fruit, which would lock them in permanently to their doom. And then in chapter 3, a little prophecy talks about that God would provide a way to be reconnected. He talked about the fact that one day that serpent that deceived them will be crushed. He will try to harm the one, the Messiah, but the Messiah will crush him. And God, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the whole book is about reconnection. The relationship with God was broken. The relationship with one another was broken. And for that time on, we know we go through that. There are times when our relationship with God gets broken, and sometimes our relationship with others gets broken. But I want you to know that God really thought this through, how to bring us back together. Later on, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 18, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, listen, who reconciled us to him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Through Jesus Christ, every relationship is healed. Through Jesus Christ, by accepting him, our relationship with God that was disconnected because of the garden events has been restored and renewed. Reconciliation means to bring back into balance. If you reconcile your checkbook, you know what I'm talking about. Bring back into balance to fix. It's there to make whole again. And what God did, he says, even though Adam and Eve sinned, and even though there was a break in the fellowship with God, and because of that, Adam and Eve were the first two human beings that had conflict. And that conflict has gone on ever, after that, forever and ever and ever. Even as Christian people, sometimes we're broken for the relationship with God, and then sometimes as Christian people, we're broken with the relationship with one another. This whole series is about growing in maturity upon that foundation. And one of the things about being a mature Christian is knowing when something's broken and getting it into the place of reconciliation. A mature Christian isn't someone who never sins or never messes up, who never does stupid stuff. A mature Christian is the one who does all that, but knows in their mind, I need to be reconciled. A mature Christian isn't somebody who walks around and never has conflict with one another. You cannot be in any environment with other people without conflict. You can't be in a church without sometimes butting heads. Some people out in the church say, well, churches, aren't churches supposed to be a place where you walk in and everybody's full of love and we're wearing white sheets and we're walking around barefoot and, you know, and we're... Church is human people that sometimes are messed up, irritable people, sometimes personalities clash, but maturity is taking that and reconcile it because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're going to be a mature Christian in the Lord, let me lay it out for you before we get to the walk away here. If you're going to be a mature Christian in the Lord, you're going to have to be connected. And if you're here today and that relationship with God has been broken, God has done everything he can. He sent Jesus Christ for you so that you can be reconciled to God. He's already laid it out. He says, well, I feel like God's walked away from me. God never went anywhere. If there's a distance, we've caused it. And here's a hard one. You ready for this? If you are going to be what's considered a mature Christian, you can't be at odds with other people in the faith. In fact, you can't be offensive to other people in the world. You can't be a friend that's not really a friend to people outside church. Now, I'm going to get very pointed here. If you are where you should be with God, and you are where you should be with others, here's some ways you can tell if you're not. You ready? Now, this may get quiet for a second here. If a Christian brother or sister comes to you and talks about other Christians and brothers and stuff, watch out. If a Christian brother and sister is already complaining about the way things are going and how things are done and always a critic, watch out. If a Christian brother and sister are trying to divide you from other people, if a Christian brother and sister are criticizing those that are serving in leadership, if a Christian brother and sister think that they're the only way to know how to do things, if a Christian brother or sister want, they're only do it if they get the glory. If a Christian brother or sister are gossiping, undermining, dividing, wow. Adam said to God, the woman you gave me. And in 2019, we still got people using that kind of lingo. Well, you know, if the pastor would have done it this way, if so-and-so would have done it, I could have done it better. The person you put in that area, they're not doing a good job. Be very careful. Because Christian maturity is forgiving, is merciful, is grace, and seeks, as I said in the opening passage, ready? And the reason why I did the Amplified Bible, it says, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. He says, the whole law, what he says here, finish up, the whole law depends upon this. We talked about a lot of subjects. We've got two more to go. We've got craving and we've got complacent. But I want to make sure it's very clear. We are bonded together as a church, not because we all like everything, not because we all think, you know, we're the best at everything. It's because we love the Lord God with all our heart, and because of that, we will be connected to one another. And I love my neighbor as myself. I do no harm to myself. Everything depends upon connection. So if you're truly going to be a mature Christian, you're going to be connected to God. But through that, if you're truly connected to God in the right kind of fellowship, you will be in fellowship with other believers. Not because you see eye to eye, like everything, or have the same person, but because you know if you're in relationship with God, God's going to place in your heart, you must love your brother and sister. And love, as it says in Proverbs, covers a multitude of sin, which means love allows us to be human. Be connected. Here's the walk away. The walk away is simply this. If you're going to be, if you want to be fulfilled in life, you must be connected. And I like that word fulfilled. I use that quite a bit in some of these closing statements. But part of the Christian growth is feeling fulfilled. And if you're feeling empty, think about your relationship with God and think about your relationship with others. And if I could say one last encouraging thing, you want to be somebody who enjoys Cornerstone? You want to be somebody who, then go into everything saying, how can I lift others up, not lift myself up? How, as we talked about service last week, contributing, how can I serve others? How can I make them successful? How can I make elevate where they are? If you go into that with that mentality, that heartbeat, you will be fulfilled. You will be fulfilled. And that's how you grow in the Lord. Next week, we're going to talk about craving. Today, connected. Last week, we talked about contributing. We talked about being a catalyst, cultivating. All these things are part of the foundation where Jesus Christ said, upon this foundation, the cornerstone, I will build you. Be connected. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? If you're new with us, it's just just a time to give thought to what we said before we close out the service in full with a song and with acknowledging our dads, obviously. Like I said, is that this is, I think, a 6 or 7 week series, and each week I really put my heart into the fact of what I thought was important to talk about. We started about the first week cultivating relationships with God and with others. Then we talked about being a catalyst in someone's life, a catalyst for change. We talked about being a contributor, serving, not being served. Today we talked about being connected, which is kind of like cultivating. The only difference is that connections, the hardest part of connection is when it's been broken. How do you get it back? And that's a hard thing in any relationship when it's been broken. How do you get it back? God has never left you. If you have a broken relationship with other people, then you have a responsibility to be the person to reconnect. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some folks that won't want to reconnect with you. That's just going to happen. You can't change them. But you can decide who you are. God gave Jesus Christ to reconcile himself to us and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry to bring harmony into relationship. Are you doing that? Let's build each other up. Let's encourage each other. Let's overlook things through love. Let's be thankful that God placed each and every one of us in each other's lives. And when we do that, we will grow more and more and more. And next week, we're going to talk about the craving. Craving. And I hope it'll be a blessing. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. We ask you just use these lessons in the last few weeks. And as we come to a close of this series in a couple weeks, Lord, I pray, Lord, as I wrap it all up, Lord, that these topics that are listed on the wall behind me, Lord, will be in our minds and our hearts for many, many years. Bless each person here. Heal relationships with you and heal relationships with one another. We know you have the power to do that. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.